Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Cy Brown, coming at you live from New York City. I was like a minute late starting the show today. I'm sorry, everybody. Technical difficulties sometimes. You know, you just want everything to be oh so perfect, and stuff just ain't perfect all the time. My mother would be so angry if she heard me say ain't, but it's all good. It is another beautiful day right here in New York City. We've had like a string of good weather, so I'm just happy. Today is another good day. You know, I say every day we wake up above ground is a good day, so I'm very, very excited about that. Politics, everybody, you know, my little politics remixed rant. Everybody's saying Barack Obama won. I personally, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm saying it anyway just because of what I do politically. But to me, the debate last night was a little boring. So hit me up in the chat room. I'm not doing a political show today. I have an absolutely amazing guest who will be joining us in a couple moments. But you all know I have to just slip a little political stuff in there. This whole thing about last night, it was just a yawner for me. So I'm happy today is Wednesday because I will be sending twits or tweets or whatever you call it from when I watch Project Runway tonight. I hope Kenley gets fired because Heidi says, you are out. I hope she gets out because her mouth is so sassy, I can't stand her. So definitely follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/Cy Brown, because I will be sending tweets out all during Project Runway tonight. And that's what it is. Don't forget the chat room is now open. And for those of you who are listening at work, I thank you and love you all for listening here on the East Coast. It's 12 noon. Everybody on the left coast, it's 9 a.m. So thank you so much for hanging out with me. And if you missed the show, don't forget you can go to LifeRemixedRadio.com and you can download it from iTunes. So on that note, I'm going to jump right into our daily thought from the Hill and then get right into our guest because I'm just going to save all my comments about him, so we get him on the line. But don't forget, you know, I bring you good guests. I work my tail off. So we got a great guest for today, everybody, and I'll tell you who he is in just a second. But anyway, for today's daily thought, it's the 8th. Can you believe it's the 8th of October already? I don't know. But it's all good. All right, today's daily thought, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center in Atlanta, Georgia, reads as follows. I am employed by God. Oh, that's nice. I think I am, too, doing the show every day and kind of writing the books that I write and do what I do. So this is good. We all have special gifts and talents that we've been given by the Creator. My gifts and talents are best used when in service to God. My life has no real satisfaction or meaning unless I'm giving it away. No matter where I work or who signs the check, I am employed by God. It is always done to honor my Christ spirit. Whether I am a cook, a teacher, a professor, a musician, or a janitor, I do my job to the best of my ability. Scripture tells us to always be about our Father's business. When I work, I have an attitude of peace and gratefulness that I can serve others. I don't complain about my work or the people I work alongside. I remember that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples to show humbleness and in service to others. There are many avenues of income, but only one source. When I connect to source, I am always employed by the right one, God. Divine Spirit is the lifeline of my business. My ideas and actions in transacting business reflect how I would deal with others. I grow in abundance and gratitude, and I'm employed by God. Thanks, God, and so it is. And today's scripture comes from the book of Kings, chapter 18, verse 7. And the Lord was with him, and wherever he went forth, he conquered. So I think that's pretty good. I think it's definitely a good thing that we all kind of know where our source comes from. Just to let you know, the chat room is now open, and I'm bringing in our guest. Dave, are you there?
I'm right here.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm bubbling over. I hate to say it. Please don't think I'm being disrespectful. I am married, but you are absolutely gorgeous. I had to post it up on the blog, and you know, I have a very casual show. It's a very, very fun show, and we're kind of goofy sometimes, But when I posted it up on the blog, I asked your publicist, I said, I need a headshot or something. You know, you never know what you're going to get. And I've seen you, but never really seen you. And when she opened it, I sent her a quick message back like, yep, you're right. And so I posted it up. So now, you know, his face is plastered on my blog, everybody. So I just want to say thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm just going to jump right in. Before we do, I just want to give a quick shout-out to everybody that I see joining me in the chat. Well, what's up, Dropping Seed? How are you today? And I know Tiff is going to join us. And also TrueView. So to everybody that blogs in the chat room during the show, good looking out. Dave, I'm gonna just jump right in before I get into being nosy. No gotcha questions. Don't worry. This is a really fun show. Talk to me a little bit. Talk to my listeners a little bit about what you're working on and what you're doing.
Oh man, I've been totally blessed. You know, been doing so many different things right now. I just got done working on a movie with the Wayans brothers, actually. And,
say word.
Yeah, and it's actually a spoof movie on all the dance movies. So it's comedy. I can't wait for that to come out. It's coming out February, so it's gonna be a
huge
film.
Can I tell you a little secret? A little fun secret. I went to high school all 4 years with Sean Wayans.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and it was funny because we had our high school reunion this past Saturday. At this bar in New York, well, they like rented out an entire floor. You know, it's New York City. Nobody gets dressed up to go anywhere. Everybody wears black and jeans. But we had our yearbook, and somebody brought out a picture, and they're like, "Well, where is Sean?" I'm like, "I really don't think Sean is coming back to our high school reunion at this bar in Times Square." But when you see him, let him know Cy Brown says hello. We had many classes together, and I wish him continued success. It's funny when my kids want to go see, like, one of the scary movies. I'm like, I'm not giving Sean any money. He wasn't even my friend in high school, no.
There's some idiots, though, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
just getting around and we just nonstop laughing.
I'm sure. So that movie comes out in February. And what else are you working on?
Well, right now I'm also doing a show called Countdown to ABDC, which is a pre and a post show on for America's Best Dance Crew. Yeah, I'm getting my host on, letting people know, you know, the ins and the outs of this whole hip-hop game, stuff that they don't know, the moves that they don't know, just, you know, educating them. But it's really, really cool. And I got a hot piece coming up on November 5th on Dancing with the Stars. I'm putting together a performance. You guys gotta check that out. Gotta check it out. It's gonna be something to see.
It airs on November 5th.
It airs November 5th, right
Does
after you
mean
vote.
Does that taped it already?
No, it's gonna be taped November 5th. It's gonna be live.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, everybody. I just put in my BlackBerry to remind us on November the 5th to watch, because we want to support everybody's projects and what they're doing that comes on Life Remix Radio. So I just gave myself a little reminder. I want to talk a little bit about America's Best Dance Crew. I worked in the industry for years and just kind of was like, I've had it. What is keeping you in the industry? Like, is it because, like, how did you get involved in the hip-hop industry or the entertainment industry?
Well, you know, I started off, this is where I'm from. You know, I'm from Compton, California. So, you know, dancing, you know, hip-hop was my life. You know, it was like a habit, you know, a little hobby I love to do, like boom, and I just got into it. I never thought I could make it a career out of it, and then I just, you know, start flourishing, you know, with different projects, with different things, and just start branching out on putting my own things together, and that's pretty much how I got, like, started. It was just, you know, me just trying to be more of the on the creative side, just, you know, and push it out there, just, you know, so I can get my work seen. And with everything that's going on right now, I think it's, you know, with hip-hop, with dance, period, on TV, on, you know, different networks, I think it's a big thing for, you know, the whole dance community. Because, you know, dance will make you feel good, you know. It's fun to watch, you know. Anything that makes you smile right now in the times that we're going through is a blessing, and that's what's needed in the world today. So I think it's a big thing for dance right now.
One of my biggest gripes with hip hop, and I had the new general manager for the Source magazine on last week, and I gave her a little grill. You know, I said, where is the balance in the way hip hop is represented? You know, for so long, for so many years, and I worked with KRS-One for years, years ago, but only rap was represented. Do you think that the b-boy and the pop locking and just the whole street dance element has been forgotten, ignored, or people just weren't into it?
No, it's still the same. Even though, you know, I've gotten the opportunity to put hip hop on film, put hip hop on TV, it's still at points it's still watered down because the whole
really?
Underground scene. Oh yeah, the whole underground scene is something that is still hip hop. People are still scared of it because, you know, hip hop is so aggressive and it's a way of life, you know. So them accepting it, you know, all of it in open with open arms, is I don't think that's going to happen, which is cool because, you know, the underground is the rawness, you know, and that's where it's from, and it's, you know, that needs to be kept there. And no, it hasn't been accepted, and I think that's a good thing because it gives you more room to grow, you know. So you still have to work, strive, go hard just for, you know, people to accept it. So, you know. So I love it. Don't accept it. I'm going to keep pushing it in your face.
You know, there's like a lot of my listeners are bigger fans of hip-hop before Jeezy and Lil Wayne, which is just a dynamic of my audience. But so we're all very familiar with what hip-hop used to look like, but we've all collectively, just by virtue of our conversations through our chat room, we want to see hip-hop grow and develop and mature because we're all growing up with it. How do you use your body or how do you use the avenues that are afforded to you to put out a more mature hip-hop, if that makes sense?
Well, like I said before, all of these different shows and I actually tour and go on these conventions. I'm leaving again this weekend. I'll go with Monsters of Hip Hop. Oh yeah, it's like 2,000 kids. It's like 2,000 plus. So and what's funny is, you know, I'm on the tour with Mia Michaels, Brian Freeman, Shane Sparks. You know, all these different styles of dancing. And they cannot wait to do the hip hop, you know. So oh my goodness, they think it's so fun. They're so energetic. It's like they get to express themselves and just be who they want to be. And that's what hip hop is all about, you know. It's just a more expressive, you know, dance style. It's a more expressive, you know, music style. It's a more expressive way of life, you know. It's, you know, it's like the blues, like jazz.
So,
you're telling your story in a different way.
So what you're saying is, like, when you travel, when you tour, where do you go? It's not just domestically, correct?
Oh, no. It's, this particular tour is called The Pulse, and we actually go all over the United States, and it's... If you see how many kids come out, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
What are the ages of the guests that come out? Like, is it
They come from 8 to 80.
Really?
Yes. And you'll be surprised to see some of the talent in there.
So when you go on, like, the Pulse tour, all right, so for example, you know, Dave Scott and, say, 7 or 8 or however many other people go out on this Pulse tour, is it that you guys are more showcasing? Is it more instructional? Talk to us about that.
It's all instructional. So it's
really?
Yeah, we teach two different classes, sometimes three, and it be beginners, intermediate, and advanced. So we have different levels, so everybody can get a piece. You know, if you feel like you're not up there yet, you know, you're stepping into the beginner class. Just get your 1-2 step on. So
I'm at the 1-2 step with a glass of red wine in my hand in the corner. You know, I'm at the 1-2 step. So when you're at the tour, is it where is it held? Where is what's the venue? What do the venues look like?
Well, because it's so big, majority of the time we're in like convention centers. in those cities. And you can, and on the post, you can find it on BroadwayDanceCenter.com.
Wait, say that one more time. Dave, say that one more
it's,
time.
It's BroadwayDanceCenter.com.
Okay.
And that's out of New York, your town.
Yep.
And you look, you just click on the post, and it tells you all the tour dates. And we're setting it off this November, starting off in Vegas.
Okay, everybody that's listening, just to, well, we have a lot of guests in the chat room. True, how are you? I see you out there on the West Coast. Yeshu, what's going on? Levon, how are you today? I have a couple of guests listening in. Everybody, I just tossed it up in the chat room, www.BroadwayDanceCenter. Just click on the link that says the Pulse, and then you'll see where Dave and everybody is going with this tour. It's an instructional tour taking place at large venues. Right, Dave? That's what you were saying, all different ages, different classes.
Oh, yeah, all ages. If you just if you feel like you got an itch, you want to scratch, get on out there and dance.
I love it. I love it. You know, it's funny. I remember the movie Strictly Business. And
yeah.
That, you know, I remember the dance scene. And just there's a couple other classic movies where there are just like, I'll call them street dancers, just meaning people that really don't have that much formal training. And my friend's brother, Peter, who now works for, I think he works for one of the top fashion, he used to work for Tommy. I'm not sure where he's at now. But he had no formal training, and I remember watching the movie, and I'm like, wait, that's Erica's brother. How did he get in there? Did you, like, how did you get into movies like Stomp the Yard and Step Up 2?
Well, that's me. I'm self-taught, too. You know, I learned how to dance by watching videos, watching TV, and just kind of creating my own style. And I basically got into it because, you know, I started off dancing, but then I wanted to be behind the scenes. I wanted to actually create. And so me and, you know, friends of mine, we just start, like, doing development for artists or putting groups together. And it really set off when I started teaching. And I started teaching, and it's like you learn so much more teaching other people that it's crazy. So I just start, you know, broadening my horizons and you know, putting my work out there, and people start to see it. And you do one film, and if it's successful, you know, you got, you know, bigger shoes to fill now. So they call you to do another one. I was like, okay, now I got to kill this. So
yeah.
That's just my goal. I always try to stay on top of it and try to be innovative and try to do something different than I did the last time, but bigger.
I have to applaud you when you said, you know, when you start teaching, because, you know, we chuckle on my show every day that I consider it a blessing that I can come on this show and present, you know, great guests to my audience. But on the flip side of that, I'm always learning and growing who's out there. And I'm always interested more in the story behind the person as opposed to, of course, I want to talk about your movies and I want to talk about all of the things that you do. But I want to know who you are and how you got to where you are, because right now what's happening is the world is changing. And with the world changing so quickly because of globalization and technology and the economy, I think people have to get back to the essence of who they are. And I think it's absolutely amazing that you can take something that's so organic, just the ability to dance and the ability to move and the ability to kind of make other people feel good by watching you and make money at it. When did you know you could really start making money at something, at your gift?
Whew. The first time I taught and I got a check. No.
Oh, yeah. Checks are good. We like checks. Checks are very good.
I like checks. No, whenever I go a day and I feel like, if ever I go a day and I feel like I haven't learned something today, then it's time for me to stop, and that's not ever going to happen, you know, I was in class, I'm teaching, and I was just doing it just so I can get my stuff out there, so I can actually, just show people my stuff. You know, that's the mentality I had when I started teaching. I'm like, I just want people to see it, you know.
Right.
And then the more I started teaching, I was like, oh. And then on top, I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm learning more from these people about myself and how I need to, you know, project, how I need to be this person, how I need to, you know, to be a little bit more open so they can understand everything that I'm doing and, you know, so many different things. And then on top of that, a check came. it was just a double whammy, and I was robbing it.
Dave, let me tell you something real quick. In the chat room, True said, yo, that's real talk. Checks are good. So he just posted that up in the chat room. Yeah, checks are nice. I'm sorry, continue.
But it's like, it's like teaching is something different. And then when you see these, the younger ones, the little ones that have all this talent, they just wide-eyed and just open to whatever you got to say. It's just, they're just vulnerable. It makes you go like, wow, I can just mold this person into something totally different. You know, I can just take this person and put them from here to here. And it's just, and you start getting a little bit more into it and more appreciative of everything. It's crazy. It's a different feeling.
I have a couple questions for you myself, but I just got a lot of questions are coming in the chat room. The first one was, do you have an agent and how do you get your gigs?
Well, yeah, I do have an agent. I'm with MSA, McDonald's Sales and Associates, and majority of the time, you know, the agencies, you know, they're there to get you, you know, gigs. A lot of times people to contact you, they'll call your agency first. But I use my agent like, you know, a devil's advocate. I pretty much put myself out there. I market myself. You know, I don't depend on them. But, you know, when that time comes and they got to structure a deal, hey, Ma. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm calling the agency. So agencies are good, you know, so you can have that structured thing and it's more professional. I just, you know, don't depend on them to market you like
right.
you want to be marketed.
Well, I totally agree. Even though I host the show, my quote-unquote day job is running a speakers bureau, and I tell a lot of my speakers, I'm doing what I can do, but you have to be out there in the media. You have to be out there in the press. You have to go and do what you do to create a demand for you. Because just as an agent, and I'm addressing your question in the chat room too. Just as an agent, not for dance or anything like that, but for speakers, we can't create magic. The artist or the
right.
talent has to also be out there creating a demand for themselves. So it kind of feeds off of each other. Do you find that to be true, Dave?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Because, you know, it's all about how you present yourself. You know, and I think an agent is that person that is a representation of you, but they represent what you bring to the table. You know, they're not creating you.
Yeah.
So you have to put... You know, put yourself out there in a bigger way, and the bigger you make yourself, the more you're gonna make your agent work.
Hey, well, I'm right with you on that one because I go through that on a daily basis. Just yo, I didn't get any work, and I'm like, when's the last time you were in the press? You know, so it goes both ways. Just a couple more comments for you, Dave, and we'll get on with the questions. We're halfway through the show already. It's going so quickly. We just got another guest to join the chat room. Her name is Halit H. Ellis, I'm sorry. And it says, Dave is amazing. I've been following him for a few years now and got big love, big respect for him. So you got some
thank
room.
You.
Another question is, what are your influences and where do you get your style from?
I grew up, I'm one of those Motown babies. My mama, you know, just used to play music while she cleaned up the house and watch, you know, all the old musicals and stuff like that. So, like, looking at the Nicholas Brothers and Fred Astaire and Danny Kaye, all these different old school people, like all the, you know, the comical ways that, you know, put the things that they put into dance and stuff like that are big influences for me. And, of course, Michael Jackson. I started off dancing because I wanted to be an artist. It wasn't for the love of just dancing. I'm like, I wanted to sing. I can't sing worth a damn, but I'm, hey.
<That's just funny. laughs>
That was my goal.
You know what? Let's touch touch on Michael Jackson for a minute, because I think I was born in the wrong year. I am such a disco fan. I just love Off the Wall and all that stuff.
Oh,
but
man.
I'm just a disco girl. I wish I was born and could have went to, like, Studio 54 or something. But I can't dance either. I can roller skate very well, and I roller skate a lot, but can't do it without the eight wheels. but even as far as style of dancing, and this is not to denigrate any other of the artists that are out there, but I see so much of Michael Jackson and Usher and Chris Brown and me. You know, the list goes on. Like, is it hard being original? Because we see Michael Jackson in everybody. So is it hard being original, or is it that he was just that big of an influence?
I think you it's both. It's it is hard being original, and he was that big of an influence, you know. But I don't think it's too hard to be original, you know. It's you know, everything is recirculated, you know. Everything comes back around, you know, and everything comes from somewhere else. But you're actually developing your own style, your own thing. It's not hard to do. It's just something that you have to stick with. And that's what I did. Now, I mean, regardless of, you know, this person is doing this, this person got this style, you got five other choreographers that, you know, styles are similar to, you know, that's doing all these pop videos, and, you know, and I'm not doing that. I'm going to be me.
Right. Well, you have to create your signature style, and that's what makes that's what makes anybody unique. When I'm out, I have my own little swagger. I'm sure you have yours. And there's always, like, a signature. I mean, and I even look at Janet Jackson, and sometimes I get a little disappointed. I'm a Janet Jackson fan because I see her, and I'll say, well, I saw that already. I remember that from Rhythm Nation tour. I remember that from the Velvet Rope tour, you know. And is it that she needs to work with, and this is not to talk about her directly, just talking about dance in general, is it that they use the same people over and over, or how is that?
Well, a lot of times, like I said, people go with the times. They feel like I got to change up because of this. And Velvet Rope tour, by the way, was her best tour.
That was the bomb.
That was, like, her best tour. And reason being is because when she did Velvet Rope, she was with Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis. They was, and you don't ruin the recipe.
Yep.
Basically, if it works, let's keep it pushing. That's what works. You know, so, you know, it's like sometimes people feel like they got to change up and reinvent, but sometimes you can go all the way to the left on your reinvention and kind of too far to the left where people just really can't catch it. So.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's funny, out of all the concerts I've been to, that one came right to the forefront because that was an amazing tour. It was original,
amazing.
Dancing, it was great. Have you ever desired to go on tour, like, with the show? I know you talked about the Pulse tour, but actually touring with an artist dancing, is that something that you do?
No, not now. You know, I'll choreograph for a tour, but me dancing and going on the road is, you know, I want to do. But, you know, if all the fellas, you know, we got a big tour, like one of the tours that's most memorable for me is when I was dancing with Ginuwine, and
I
got to meet. It was, but let me tell you what the tour was. So all of the artists had dancers, and we was all that deep. So if it's a tour like this that I'm about to say, then I'll probably go out for a few weeks or something. But
right.
It was Ginuwine, Aaliyah, Drew Hill, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and Mary J. Blige.
On one bill?
One bill.
I missed
that
one.
Super fast.
Okay. I was going to say, because I missed that one.
That's a tour.
Yeah. Now, in a situation like that, you're saying you would go out and dance, but how is it? How do you get to the gig to choreograph, like, a tour or something like that? Is it just you politicking, or just people, like, your name ringing bells, or what is it?
Yeah, it's politicking. It's like the same thing. People hear about you, they want to work with, you know, this guy that did this guy that did that. And you know,
right.
What's crazy is people feel like, because I'm doing a lot of television and film, a lot of artists are scared to call because they either two things. They think I don't do artists no more.
Right,
or
right.
I'm mad expensive because I only
right.
do movies.
Right.
I'm like, just reach out and quit assuming.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I actually had, I'm going to go off the subject a little bit. I actually was talking to my assistant the other day, a month ago. I said, dude, I want to do a video.
I was
and
just
like,
going to ask about videos.
I was like, I want to do a video. And they go, why? You do movies. Because it's like you have just this 4 to 5 minutes to just kill. You have such this small time that you have to put some pure murderation on the
right.
camera. And it's like, and people don't understand. It's, yeah, I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm not complaining that, I'm doing a lot of films and stuff like that. Things are bigger. But to do that video real quick is yeah. That's just a little itch you gotta
say. Years ago, and people don't understand, a video is not just something that you kind of go in, and people literally, like, they have to write a treatment, and they have to get the
mm-hmm.
costumes, and they have to do the wardrobe, and it's not, just because we see it, and the running time is 3 minutes and 29 seconds, a lot goes into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, producing a video.
A lot.
Have you done
music
videos at all?
A lot goes into it. Huh?
Have you done music videos yet?
Oh, yeah. I've done plenty of music videos. It's just recently I've been doing a lot of TV and film, you
okay.
know. But, yeah, you know, some more stuff coming out there to, you know, blast everybody with. But, I like to doing any project is just a different way you have to choreograph. It's like if I'm doing a stage show, I have to paint this whole entire picture without any edits. So you have to see everything and, you know, like full. So you have to, you know, make that hot. And then when you're doing a video, you have to do it to where you got to know that they're about to do this MTV look, so it's going to be real choppy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
let's get the biggest and the best moves right here in front of the camera, right here where I don't care if they cut it, you're not going to miss this. You know, so it's just different frames of mind you have to, you know, work on. And I like exercising my mind like that.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about that for a second. Music videos are, I'm so happy you said that, they are very, like, boom, 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 boom. Like, and maybe I personally believe that's why everybody, like, that watches videos is so deprived and can't think more than 3 seconds ahead. But what is the distinction between you styling a music video versus you styling for a feature film?
Oh, it's a big, big, big difference.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, like doing a music video, like you said earlier, it's, you know, you have to get a treatment. You have to, get the gear, and everything has to flow and connect. And a lot of the times, the treatment is all surrounded by the dance, and so now you have to, you know, paint that picture. With a script and a movie, me, I always go outside the script so the dancing can tell a story in itself. So the dancing can take you through these rides. The dance can give you these emotions. The dancing, you know, telling this story, and it counters with the story, with the actual dialogue with the movie, you know. So I just try to take away from, you know, everything after I read the script and paint my own picture and take you through, you know, on that ride without dialogue. So the dancing is just, you know, you're crying right here. You're happy right here. You're excited right here. You're jumping out of your seat right here. So just the dancing telling a story in itself.
I think there is a big difference. And True, I see your question in the chat room. I'll ask him in a minute. But just even using your body, telling a story, and I think there's a big difference between just a dance scene, if you can talk to us a little bit about this, a dance scene in a movie versus a movie that's about the dance, such as Stomp the Yard. How is that done from a creative process from you just kind of in the movie and using your body to express, because, yeah, we can all name, like I talked about, Strictly Business, and it's got some club scenes and dance scenes, but the movies that you have done are really, the dance is the character of the movie, is it not?
Oh, yes, most definitely. It's, it's, like I said, it starts off one way. It starts off, you know, with just a script when you got a story. And majority of the time, just like a dance scene here, you know, or a big number here, you know. So it's not really telling you what emotion to put in that scene, or how powerful that the scene has to be, you know. So you really have to, like, just take your time and go, well, it gotta be explosive right here.
Right.
It has to be. Well, okay, it's a smaller scene. It's only 1 minute. So what can I do in this 1 minute? Let's just make this one funny. Let's make this scene funny. You know, like what mm-hmm. they look like. They're having a good time. Like they just becoming friends with the dancing. You know.
Right.
And this is all with no dialogue. It's a montage. So
that's
let's make it
incredible.
Look like, you know, so it's really, you really, really have to direct, you know, pretty
well,
much.
Well, I got a couple more questions for you. I'm coming up in the chat room. The question is, where are you located, and do you have to be in L.A. to make movies?
I'm in L.A. I'm from L.A., but I don't think you have to be in L.A. to make movies. I think it's the best place to be if you want to, you know, be on the scene. I know, you know, New York has a big dance scene, but it's more of the stage.
I was
going to
say, don't
stage.
Be flighting the East Coast.
No, you know, New York, you got your, you know, the dance scene, but it's more theatrical there, you
yeah,
know. And
yeah, you're right.
And
you're definitely
and
right.
And here, is, you know, it's more of the big screen.
Yeah, it is. I hear a lot of people, and Tiff, that was your question. That's a good question, because Tiff is in L.A. Everybody tells me, one of my speakers actually, he lived on the East Coast, and they moved to the West Coast because he wants to be a filmmaker. He's a teenage filmmaker. He's been on the show before, Ben Foster. But his family literally packed up, and they were like, for movies, it's got to be L.A. Why do you think L.A. is the hub for movies? Probably because all the studios and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's all the studios out here. It's the hub, you know, for, you know, where everything is happening, you know. So it's, yeah, L.A., it's just where it is.
Well, I'll come visit.
I guess because it's home.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you a little biased because you're from Compton? I think there may be a little, and you know, I'm going to say the same thing. I'm like, y'all from New York, son. You gotta come to New York. We had Sex in the City, and we get Law and Order, and you guys get all the big budget movies. Chu just hit us up in the chat room. Watch out for ATL. Well, we don't have any ATLians representing, so right today it's all about New York and LA. I got another question for you. Here it is. Well, I know you can't get specific about this. Is the paper different from videos versus movies? Somebody in the chat room asked you that question. If you want to elaborate without giving specifics.
Videos, like three and a half minutes. A movie is like 90 minutes plus. It's
yeah.
that much longer. The paper is that much longer.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm going to give, just by virtue of me working on videos before, I'll give out some numbers that are probably not very accurate anymore. But I just remember when a video was a video, but now, like, the video directors are stars in of themselves. You know, they're starting to do, like, credits. And I know some directors can get as much as $10,000. A day, because it goes by day rate. This is for everybody
mm-hmm.
who's in the chat room that's looking for rates. Tiff, you just asked, how much was your check? I'm not asking, and I'm not, no. But anyway, I worked with a wardrobe stylist on one video one time, and I knew her day rate was $3,000 a day. So I think it's safe to say, and you can agree or challenge this, is that it really goes on your experience, does it not?
Yes, definitely. It definitely goes on your experience because the newer, the fresher you are, you may get in there and get, a huge deal, but with your experience, you can ask for different things, and
right.
you can go in there set, like, my day rate is this, and you have the background to prove why it's that.
Yeah, and you have to come with a track record. I definitely believe that. And some of the
mm-hmm.
things, too, that's, I believe to a certain degree, that's why sometimes there's a period of time where you'll see the same video, I'm not going to say the other one, but video chicks, I guess, in the same videos because they've developed a following. People, they're building a buzz about themselves. The same thing with video directors. For one point in time, you would see the same director's name, and they're like, well, what is going on over there? But I guess, just like you said, they built up a name, they built up a following, and, they can command that money. But I know, just to go back and we'll wind down the money part because I really don't want to harp on that, but, people do want to listen. That's why they tune in, because they're curious. You're a celebrity. You're in movies and on TV, so you're engaging right now with people that are fans and don't know. So I think I'm going to give them a little something without trying to put you on Front Street. but just for my listeners, I do know I've worked with a wardrobe assistant, and her day rate was $1,500 a day. And at one point when I started out many, many moons ago as a production assistant, I was happy to make $75 a day for like a 14-hour day. I remember I worked the craft services. For those of you that are not familiar, craft services is the truck where all of the talent and everybody gets their juices and sodas and stuff from.
Yeah.
And I was working a craft services truck for like $75 a day for 12, 13 hours, and was happy to get my $75.
Oh, man. I mean, I did some extra work, too. That was like $50 a day.
Yeah.
So.
You have to put the work in. You have to definitely put the time in. You have to put the work in. Oh, let me just read you some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room. Yeshu, who's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, says, I'm in the wrong business. True says, I stay close to the industry, know a little something about a few things. These are just some of the great people that tune into the show every day. Oh, I got a question. Are you a musician? One of my listeners wants to know, are you a musician?
No, I'm not a musician. I just, I know how to edit music, stuff that I like to dance to and stuff. But I'm not a producer, per se.
Okay.
Or a musician,
no.
I can beatbox real good.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you going to start beatboxing for us?
No.
Oh, I tried, y'all. Just so you know, Dave, I'm going to ask you one more time before we get off the air. Look, somebody in the chat would say, go ahead, Si. I'm going to ask him one more time, everybody, right? Only thing he can tell me is no. We're winding down. We only have about 10 minutes left in the interview. You know what? I forgot to say, everybody that's listening in right now, we've got Dave Scott, just from movies, from Dancing with the Stars, just dancer extraordinaire. So I forgot to give the drop of who we're talking to at the halfway point of the show for everybody that's just tuning in. So everybody's telling me to ask you again. I'm going to, everybody. I see it in the chat room. Tiffany Janae, who is definitely a fan, told me to tell you that it's her birthday today. So if you can just wish Tiff, who's in L.A., a happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Tiff. It's a blessing that you woke up and it had another year. Be thankful.
Well, Tiff, there you go. You owe me for that one. No, you know what, Dave? You're an absolute angel. Thank you so much for coming on. Wishing Big Tiff a happy birthday today. I love it. I love it. I love it. I just have two more questions for you, and then we're gonna get ready to wind down the show. I want to talk about race a little bit, and I wanted to talk about this at the top of the show, but I didn't want to bring the show down too heavy. How do you think race is a factor, or how other races and cultures perceive the culture of hip-hop and how they dance and how they move? Because I know in Japan, they look at hip-hop totally different than we do. And in other European countries, do you think race plays a factor in what you do?
I think race played a huge factor in what I do.
Really?
Before it was, that goes back to the whole fear of hip hop, you know, and it was not being discriminative, but it's just, you know, white people were scared because it's such a you know, street oriented dance style,
mm-hmm.
and it's aggressive, so everybody was like, whoa. But if you go to the tour, like the Pulse, you see the demographic that's in there, you'll go, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I was gonna ask
it's a total flip. You might see 10 black people in there.
Really?
Out of a room of 700. You know, it's totally different. It's a total flip because it's being appreciated a little bit more. But you know, when you got funky white boys like Wade Robson and, you know, and Justin Timberlake that just get out, it's just changed the game. It's like you don't even look at it as a race factor anymore. You just look at it as a funk factor. Like, okay, they just bringing it, you know. And I think that's where it needs to go and where it needs to be. It's, you know, it's not a black oriented, you know, thing. You know, it's a street oriented thing, you know, and that's what needs to be grasped and that's, you know, and held on to. It's not a race.
That's what I kind of thought. And when you were talking about the Pulse tour, I don't know what it is about just say black people, like, oh, I don't need to see that because my man could do it, you know, better than them. I just think they look at it more as an art form. Maybe is that the case, that they're looking at it as, I want to learn this particular art form, as opposed to like, man, we see that every day around the block.
Yeah, but that'd be, you know, that's ignorance. You know what I mean? They need to, you know, and a lot of people stepping out of that. But yeah, that's ignorance. It's don't just assume it's something you've seen around a block. Come in and, you know, take a class, and you'll learn something, you know. And I've had a lot of people that felt that same way and came in and took a class. It's like, man, I never took a class before, man. This is dope, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they doing stuff they never thought they could do. And then they get in there and see the teachers, and they're like, oh, is that Mr. Wiggles? Is that Poppin' Pete? You know, old school people from Breaking B Street. They like, wow, I'm learning from him. So they're broadening their horizons, and they didn't, you know, realize that they can do that. And you know, that's getting out of that ignorant mind state, like, man, whatever, homie, you know,
deal. Yeah. I have a cousin, she's nine, you know, the younger cousin, and she lives in Vegas, and she actually had to audition, and she's biracial. My uncle is black and his wife is white, and she mm-hmm. auditioned and went to Debbie Allen's dance school in L.A. over the summer. And, you know, he had her, you know, journaling and writing about it. And one of the first things she said is she couldn't believe the diversity, or actually there weren't too many blacks, but she said she couldn't believe the diversity in dance. And she said taking that dance class, and this is coming from a nine-year-old, she says now she can be better in school, she can focus better. This is coming from a nine-year-old, and my uncle thought he was just, you know, sending her to something to do over the course of the summer. And I think there's a discipline that's involved with it that people
yes.
miss. Is that so?
Oh, definitely. It's a definite discipline. And the structure, you know, I got to give props to, you know, Miss Debbie Allen. That's one of my mentors, and she's like an aunt to me. She was one of the first people that told me, like, get up off your ass and do this.
That's right.
Thank you, man. Because I was always behind the scenes. She's like, mm-mm, boy. Hey, Debbie. But with her school, I should say, just the technical training, it gives you a little bit more structure. You know, it gives you more structure, and it can go from the dance and onto other things in your life. You know, just that structure, just being able to have that balance and to know how the balance stings. It you know, it's things that you can use in other things in your life, and I think that's very, very, very important. And it's just like when you play sports, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're getting a different structure in your life. You know, you have to have this training, you have to have this mentality in order to achieve, you know, more in that particular field. So that's what dancing does. And yeah, we need a lot more schools like that.
From what my uncle told me and what my little cousin told me, that she felt totally comfortable, and he said that was money well spent. And it's not an endorsement or whatever for the school. It's just for the sake, by virtue of this conversation. He said his daughter learned more just about life, discipline, interacting with other races, and interacting with other people during her time there than he ever thought. He just thought he was sending her to dance for the summer, and she came back with so much more. She came back with so much.
You can't chew gum in the class.
Yeah.
You walk around, all of the kids call you Mr. or Miss in your last name. Hey, Mr. Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she makes sure. So if it's something that you're not getting at home, you're going to get it at this school, and it's something, you know, you can use every day. You know, your kid comes home like, yeah, yes, Mr. Scott. You're like, wow, you're so polite, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely what's needed. I just want to read, before we wind down and get to the last question, somebody, True was just saying in the chat room that he loves Debbie Allen, and that's what I love about the arts, that it's a discipline. I totally have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get down to the last question. Tiff asks, do you have a job every day to do, or do you just work from project to project?
Yeah, I have a job every day to do, and that's being on top of my game.
Well, you're talking to a show full of
hustlers. There's a lot of kids coming out here, and they take your job.
we all, just by virtue of the show, this is definitely a hustle show, and we talk about grinding and staying on top of your game and returning people's phone calls and doing what you do. That's definitely real talk. Let all the listeners know where they can find you. You know, give me a summary, too, of some of your upcoming projects. And as you're talking, I'm going to be putting it up in the chat room.
Definitely find me on my website, and that's theofficialdavescott.com. You know, where everything I'll be doing will be posted up on there. You know, we got the tour. Look up monstersofhiphop.com. That's the Monsters of Hip Hop tours. All beasts on that tour. We out there bringing it. And also The Pulse, which I told you is BroadwayDanceCenter.com, and click on The Pulse. And, you know, you'll catch everything that's going on. I got another movie project coming up, you know, and this one is going to be so hot. You know, this one is a Polynesian and hip-hop blend. So we'll be filming in Hawaii. So it's going to be sexy, crazy, big, aggressive. It's going to be brutal. So,
give me the domain name again. It was the Monsters of Hip Hop Tour. Is that the domain name or?
Yeah, it's called monstersofhiphop.com.
Okay, monstersofhiphop.com. All right, everybody, I just put that in the chat room. www.monstersofhiphop.com. People are going to your site already and they're saying the site is hot. So. So everybody's telling me they went to your site. The site is hot. Everybody, log on to www.theofficialdavescott.com, monstersofhiphop.com, and then you've got The Pulse. We put that up in the chat room, so just take a look at it. Dave, just I want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Anything else you want to leave a final thought with my guest?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I just want to say it's going to be a lot of things that's pushing you and pulling you in the wrong direction that, you know, making you want to stop your dream. And regardless of everything, you take all of that and build from it. And my words to everybody is never stop.
Oh, that's what it is. Dave, thanks a lot. Everybody, I love you all for listening. Thank you for checking me out. It's your girl, Cy Brown, broadcasting live from New York City weekdays at 12 noon right here on Life Remix Radio. Don't forget, the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever you are, God is. I'm signing out, and I'll see everybody right here tomorrow at 12 noon. Peace.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Buggy. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.